What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you're tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you guys so much for tuning in again. I feel like we're back in the swing of things. We've got 2 weeks in a row, and that's been a rarity this year. My apologies. First things first, follow me on Twitter, at It's Intuition. Follow my man, Ben Shim, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, base with two S's. You can follow us as a unit on at That's Kinda Neat and youtube.com/That's Kinda Neat, where you're going to see our guest today, Dream Panther, perform. You can go on your phone. Perhaps it's your new iPhone 6 that you pre-ordered. That's not out yet. I don't know why I would say that. But you go on your phone. You look at the podcast app. You search for Kinda Neat. You subscribe. You rate it 5 stars. Tell me how motherfucking soothing my voice sounds. And that's just an amazing little favor that you can do that only takes a split second. But just make sure you subscribe. If you're listening to this on a computer right now, I feel like you're not living your life properly. You should just be listening to it in a car via your Bluetooth or auxiliary, streaming directly from your phone. That's the easiest way. That is how I listen to podcasts, and it is amazingly simple. Yeah, what is going on? I just got back from Washington, D.C. It's my first time having been on the East Coast during the summer in many moons. And Jesus, it is so I don't know how people live in humidity. I hate to like talk about something as boring as the weather, but like, wow, it's crazy. You walk outside and you just like immediately sweat through your shirt. And then you walk back inside to a normal 70 degree room and it feels like a freezer. But yeah, it was cool. I've never been to Washington, D.C. I got drunk for the first time in a long time. Like, I haven't been drinking. You know, a lot of you guys that follow me on social media stuff know that I've quit smoking. So I just hit 5 months of not smoking a single cigarette, which is great. And then I had been on another kick of not drinking. And I hadn't drank for probably about 2 months. But we were on a job shooting for an alcohol company, and they had a lot of alcohol there. And I'm like, well, fuck, man, we're done with the day. Might as well get fucked up. And get fucked up we did, and it was a lot of fun. I didn't wake up feeling that guilty. I think that I don't like to drink because oftentimes I feel like I wake up and need to apologize to people. And this time when I drank, the only people I really felt the need to apologize to were like the people that I drunk dialed. Sorry to all you ladies out there that are drunk dialing. But yeah, we went and saw all the, all the like touristy memorial stuff that you go see when you're in Washington, D.C. So we saw the Washington Monument and the World War II Monument and the Lincoln Memorial. And then it was really hot, like I said, and we were like about to go to the airport. So I wanted to like not sweat through my shirt. So I took my shirt off. A lot of you guys that know me in real life know that I don't really like to wear a shirt that often. So I was walking around with my shirt off. And by the time we got to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, which is much smaller than I thought it would be in real life. Not to say, like, there's a ton of names on there because so many soldiers died in Vietnam. Like, it's crazy. But I just thought it was, like, going to be much taller. But it's still a very beautiful memorial. But as we're walking down there, there's a guy that was, like, he was, I'm not going to lie, he was chiseled like a Greek god. He was, like, probably, 6'3" and just, like, massive glistening shoulder muscles and pecs and a six pack. He was a very well put together man. And I noticed there's a security guard walking next to him. This guy has his shirt off too, right? There's a security guard. He's an old, sweet gentleman. And he's like, I thought they were just joking around while they're walking next to each other. But it turns out as they get closer, the big, tall, like dude that looked like Thor goes, look, there's another one, man. Ask him to put his shirt on. And the security guard goes, excuse me, sir, can you put your shirt on at this memorial, please? And I said, oh, yes, sir. My apologies. I didn't know, and I put it back on. And the security guard looks at him. Like I said, this is a guy who's like in like probably 65, 70, just a sweet old man with like a gray mustache and gray hair. And he goes, see, he even said thank you. Or he even said, sir. And the other guy goes, well, that's because he's conditioned. You guys are all just conditioned. You guys are programmed. He's like, look, man, I'm just walking through here. And he's with I want to tell you, he's with a super hot chick, too, dude. Like, this girl that he's walking with made me and my friend both, like, we were like, wow, that's a good-looking girl. And she's walking with this super fucking tall, chiseled, good-looking man. Pause to all of this, but I'm just trying to just paint the scene for you guys. And this guy goes, you guys are programmed. And the security guard kind of stays next to us and is like, man, what an asshole. And then this guy's still like probably you know, 50 feet away at this point, yelling, going, I was in fucking Iraq, man. I was in Iraq. And we're like, oh, so? And somebody, I don't know who it was, but somebody cracked the joke. We're like, oh, too bad you made it back, which is kind of a low blow. But the guy's being an asshole, and he goes, he's like, man, if, he's like, fuck you, to the security guard. He goes, you're going to be fucking dead in 5 years anyways, man. And it's like, wow, we couldn't believe that this dude, I mean, the guy was probably younger than me. He was probably only like 27, 28, and he's like, yelling at this fucking 67-year-old dude about, like, you're fucking programmed and you're gonna die and, like, don't tell me what to do. I was in Iraq. And it's like, dog, if you were fucking in Iraq, like, perhaps you should – I'm not even a crazy patriot like that, you know? But, like, perhaps you should have enough respect at a fucking memorial to, like, put your shirt back on. It's not that big of a deal. I just thought it was crazy. It's so wild when you stumble into, like, human interaction that is just so publicly unacceptable to me. Like, I don't know. I just feel like arguing with strangers is like, man, grow the fuck up. There's never a reason to argue with strangers, I don't think. I mean, there are reasons, but at the same time, it's like, man, keep your fucking cool. So, yeah, that happened. What else? This is kind of a thing that I'm going through that perhaps maybe some of you guys will find interesting. Similarly to having quit cigarettes and trying to not drink as frequently, I'm not like in an AA program or anything, but like for all intents and purposes, I'm trying to like not drink just because it makes me feel better. I feel like I'm more focused and on my grind and whatever, like when I'm not worried about going out and getting fucked up. And also it saves a shitload of money because like I'm a person where I go out and drink and I'll have a few drinks and a few drinks at a bar. You know, if you take a girl to a bar, it all of a sudden turns into $60. And if you're doing that twice a week, that's $120 over the course of a month. That's like, what is that, Ben? That's like $480. Yeah, that's math. $480. $480 a month on booze. Like, that's a lot of money. So I've been saving a lot of money of just not spending money on booze, you know? And so I've also been on some shit where like, well, since I'm quitting those two things, maybe I should go the full three X's and just like not fuck for a while. And so I'm thinking maybe I might be celibate for a while. I don't know how well it's going to work out, but I know that something in my brain, the same part of my brain that's been telling me like, yo, you're done with cigarettes. The same part of my brain that's been telling me that, like, hey, you know, you hit the wall and you are of a certain age where like you need to worry about your health and you need to worry about your future and taking care of yourself, and told me that I need to quit cigarettes, has told me like, hey, you know, maybe it's also time that you start taking care of your relationships with other people. And I think that while I don't think that I'm an alcoholic, I don't know, and maybe alcoholics say that, I think that I do have tendencies, because I know that when I start drinking, if I start drinking, I will always end up drunk. Like, I don't stop until I'm drunk. I do know when to stop when I'm drunk, but I'm not a casual, like, let me have a beer with dinner, dude. If I'm gonna have a beer with dinner, I'm gonna end up having like six more. And so to me, that doesn't seem healthy. And there is alcoholism in my family with relatives. So I don't want to fall into that path if I see any of those tendencies with myself. And in that same account, I don't think that I'm a sex addict, because I don't fucking sit home and jerk off all day to like unhealthy porn. And I don't think that like, and I don't like walk around with mirrors on my shoes and shit. Like, I'm not a crazy like creep sex addict weirdo, but I do definitely think that throughout my life I have treated sex as often a form of validation or a way to get my mind off of other things or to make me disregard other problems, similarly to how someone would treat a drug. And this is something that I don't go to a psychologist or a shrink or anything. And so this is kind of stuff that I've just been thinking on my own. And so I don't know. I think like the same part of my brain that's been telling me like, yo, it's time to quit cigarettes, has been telling me like, hey, maybe it's time to settle down and like find something real with someone and like get married soon, or like at least get back into a serious relationship. I mean, as crazy as it sounds, like how Facebook is now, you know, like you can like check in on people that you used to date, and just randomly a girl that I'm still friends with on Facebook is my ex's sister, my longest ex. I'm still friends with her sister on Facebook. And it turns out that my longest ex just had her second child today and is happily – or yesterday or something. That popped up in my timeline. And here's the thing about that ex is like even though I know that we weren't right for each other and like she made me miserable and I broke it off with her for the record. I broke it off with her. This is not me like on some love lost shit. This is me on some like thank God I got out of that because I thought I was going to marry this girl. But, you know, I was miserable with her and she didn't make me happy. And I knew if we ended up together that I wouldn't be happy for the rest of my life or until we divorced. And so I got out and I was so ecstatic to have gotten out. But that was back in 08 and now it's 2014. And seeing her, you know, happily married and with her second child now, like, it's not like it's not that I will. Somebody goes, oh, well, what did you like want to see her miserable? And it's like, no, I'm fucking really stoked that she's happy. But the fact that she's happy makes me go like, wait, it makes me feel bad because I'm like, wait, like I'm not happy. I don't have a good relationship. Like, you know, why haven't I been able to find that? And part of me thinks that it's because I fucking, you know, oftentimes treat sex as validation rather than an emotional connection. And so, yeah, point being is I think maybe I'm going to be celibate for a while. Just send me an email. Tell me what you think about that. Tell me if you agree or disagree. I don't know. Just fucking interact with me. I go on these rants before the podcast and I don't know if anybody just even listens to them. I think most people might maybe just fast forward through them. So send me something that says like, yo, you're crazy for trying to not fuck for a while or something. Or if you're a girl, convince me to try and fuck. But, no, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that's some shit that I've been seriously considering. And, you know, it's been a few weeks and so we'll see how that goes. And, maybe I'll keep filling you guys in on that. Maybe I'll start getting a little more like realistically personal on these intros. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. Today we had on Dream Panther. Dream Panther is a dude that is from LA. If you guys have really been paying attention to the things that have been going on, you might have been reading his name on some like major publications lately because coincidentally, he is I Love Makonnen's cousin and they've worked together. He just did a remix for I Love Makonnen. If you've seen the Don't Pop Molly No More or Don't Sell Molly No More video, he's the one who does this chopped and screwed part. But I've been hearing Dream Panther's name since around like 09 from like Verbs and Caleb, both of which we've had on the show. And he's just kind of this dude who makes weird, like dreamy music in the LA scene. And I think like right now he's just been kind of like doing his thing and learning his voice and kind of living in this underground realm. And he was an early adopter to the kind of warehouse scene that's very popular right now and stuff like that. But I think he's just kind of like learning and hoarding music. And I feel like from what I've heard, good things are going to happen for him. He's an artist who has a lot of potential to be someone that a lot of people will be fans of. So with that being said, I hope that you guys listen to this and you realize like he's a super chill bro because I liked this conversation. It was very fun and easygoing. And I hope that you go watch the video of him. He performs a song and then does kind of like a secret song afterwards, like a second song. And just know that this is something that you're going to be super early on because Dream Panther has a lot of good music in the pipes that hasn't come out yet. And a lot of people vouch for him in behind the scenes. So very excited about this artist. And without further ado, here is my interview with Dream Panther. Haven't dropped a lot of music, right?
Not really.
A ton, right?
Yeah, I mean, I got more stuff like in the pipe, getting ready to come out. Just
but like, why do I hear your name so much? Like, are you a dude behind the scenes? Is that what it is?
I guess sometimes I work with Caleb a lot. So
Caleb, yeah. I feel like there's this weird subsection of LA music that you're like involved in, and one of the dudes. Maybe are you quietly an influencer? Is that what it is?
I think people see and hear and might like borrow or, you know, yeah. I might turn them on to something, but, like as far as like physically being there, no, I'm not very many places.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I got my routine, you know,
what do you hide out? Are you a very solo dude?
Kinda. Yeah.
Antisocial?
No, not antisocial. I'm just, I don't have a car, so.
Oh, so, and fucking of course LA buses really suck dick.
Yeah, so, yeah. I've been doing the internet car for a little bit now, but
the internet car? What's that, like Uber and shit?
Yeah. The ones, you get on your phone. And,
yeah, you know what's? You know what? I feel like the new hustle is for like chicks will hit me up and go, "Hey, I'm like in a place with bad reception. Can you buy me an Uber right now?" Like with the promise that maybe it'll lead to some pussy in the future. And I'm like, motherfucker, I have a car. You think I have the Uber app on my phone? Like, I have a car. No.
You just tell them, like, dude, I'll Uber you over here.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only... yeah, there's place. One... It's a one-way Uber. Yeah. That's it. No, that's creepy. But, yeah. So, where are you from, man?
I'm from here, L.A.
You're from L.A.?
Yeah.
So, you're not from Orange County, because the phone number you're coming from is Orange County.
Nah.
That's just your, like, business phone? Or dad's
business phone? That's where the business is.
What part of L.A.?
Mid-City.
Born and raised?
Yeah.
Nice. So, where'd you go to school at?
I went to a local school for up until high school, and then I went out to Orange County for a little bit.
How was that?
It was chill. It was good. It was a good change of scenery, you know?
Like, yeah.
My parents feared I was going to fall in with the wrong crowd, and I think they were kind of spot on with that, so.
What's your, this is like a weird question, but what is your racial makeup? Like, what is your ethnic background?
A mutt, I guess. American.
American.
American mutt.
What was the like racial makeup of your school that you were going to in elementary school?
Mostly black and Latino.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing. It was like went up until high school, it was like a complete culture shock because everybody was black and Latino. Like when someone told me that blacks, Latinos were a minority, I was like, dude, you're tripping. Everybody I know at school is black or Latino.
That's like, so funny.
That's it. There's like a few Asian kids and a few like others, but
there was no white kids though.
No.
Mid-City's like pretty fucking quote unquote minorities,
I guess,
even though
it's
the majority.
I mean there were more like in middle school,
but not
really any in elementary.
And so you could probably kind of like jump the fence between the two because you kind of look Latin or black. I can't really put my finger on it.
I've been getting Latin more and more. It's I don't know, it's kind of a strange thing to me, but I guess there's like that mixed in there. My family's from Central America, so.
Oh, okay, word.
Yeah, but their backgrounds, you know, are all over, you know.
Yeah. What do your
Latin
folks
European,
do in Mid-City?
What's up?
What do your folks do?
My mom teaches computer science, and my dad's an electrical engineer.
No shit. That's tight. And so are they from L.A. too, or did they move to L.A.?
Yeah, they moved to L.A. when they were like, I think my dad was like 18 and my mom was like 20.
Yeah. Where are they from?
My mom's originally from Guatemala, but she grew up in Belize.
Oh, okay.
And my dad's from Belize.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. So do they speak with accents still, or did they like acclimate to America? Like how?
Yeah, they both acclimated. Yeah. They still have their accents, but, you know, in the professional setting.
Yeah. That's so tight. Yeah. So do you, does a lot of that culture carry over into your upbringing? Like,
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of make fun of them because I feel like they acclimated like in weird ways, but in other ways they didn't at
like
all.
Like what?
Like they don't have any American friends.
Oh, yeah.
Like they don't really do anything American. Like, you know, like I tell people, you know, I never really saw Charlie Brown or like Star Wars, and they're like, "What, dude? Where are you from?"
Yeah.
So we just didn't like they. You
You're
know,
like, nah, we had Univision, bruh.
Nah, we didn't watch that. It's just I don't know, like. Some things we just kind of missed.
Yeah, no shit. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Holidays are probably different and shit, or what?
Not really. They're for the most part the same. It's just funny though. Like, I went to Belize and like America has so much of an influence over them.
Oh yeah.
You know, like they look to America for like pretty much everything. So, yeah. Like it's kind of like this America, but just adapted.
How many times have you been over there?
Just once.
You got, he's like grandma, grandpa, cousins over there and shit?
Nah, most of my close family is like out here. But, you know, we still got like cousins and second cousins and whatnot out there.
Yeah, for sure. So when you're growing up in Mid-City in elementary school, mostly black and Latino school, like what kind of shit were you into?
I don't know, playing ball.
What kind of ball?
Basketball.
Oh, you're a basketball player. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Pogs, I think we were big.
Oh, yeah, Pogs, for sure. I just missed the Pogs. Like, I think I hit junior high, and, like, the fifth grade kids were, like, down with Pogs, and I was like, I'm a little too old for Pogs, I think.
Yeah.
But I remember that. I remember the Pogs.
Yeah, they had the bandit on the schoolyard. People's just fighting over Pogs, playing for keeps. You know?
Right. Were you, like, a weird creative kid, young or no?
I guess. I think so, yeah. Like I remember I used to walk home from school and I would sing and rap to myself, you know, just to pass the time walking home, you know. It was before cell phones and MP3 players.
And so. Like you probably thought it was normal and you didn't realize that no one else was probably doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really consider it. I was always really like shy about it, you know, when a car would drive by or someone would walk by, kind of, you know, quiet down and just let them walk by and then go back into it. But yeah, like I don't know, I never really considered it.
I was like on that same shit where like I remember there was a very specific moment in my life where I realized that like not everyone could remember a rap song and be able to like do it in a syncopated rhythm.
Yeah,
I was like, oh wait, there's some people that like can't do this on beat. Like that's so weird because it's just that shit kind of shit just comes to you, I guess, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, like because my dad or like, you know, a lot of my family, they're not really in tune with it, I guess, you know, and like I remember them telling us like, oh, you can remember all these songs, you know, but you can't remember your schoolwork, like,
right,
you know, like, right, don't waste your time on this is like frivolous, you know. But my grandmother, she probably was like she is like the biggest influence, like in Belize she would sing on the radio and and so like
even so you have some musicality in your genes.
Oh, for sure. Like even when she came out here, she cut a record in the living room, like, you know, at the age of 70. And she just did it herself.
Yeah, that's like, tight, dude.
And yeah, like growing up, I never really like considered it like as like this weird thing, but like, you know, she took her own time and money. It was just like, yo, like I wanna sing these songs, like you know, recorded it.
She's like, I'm gonna cut this in my living room and invent cloud rap. I'm gonna put it on Tumblr.
It wasn't any cloud rap sort of thing.
That's tight. So, wait, so like, did you watch her do this? Were you a kid?
Yeah, we're all around, you know, just you know, we had to be quiet when they were doing the takes, and just like they just did it. And
wait, give me some perspective. How old were you when you were watching your grandmother cut a record in the living room?
It's probably like between 5 and 7.
Well, and then so in hindsight, like you have to realize like how fucking influential that is on what you do now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because now you probably cut songs in your living room all the time. Right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's dope.
So, it's just music's always been like a big thing in my life. And I guess, you know, it wasn't only like until like 5 years ago, I was like, all right, this is what, you know, I'm doing. This is what's for me.
Growing up in Mid-City, like what was the music that was catching you early on?
I'd have to say just like Tupac, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, like
for sure.
It was really like something to see the places that we went to, you know, the parks we played ball at in their music videos, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, like I was there. Like I drive by that spot every day. Like,
right. Well, like kind fuck. Of thing. So I remember seeing Randy's Donuts and Snoop's What's My Name video, and then like when I moved to LA and seeing Randy's Donuts being like, oh my God, like that is a fucking rap mecca, you know? And then you grew up around that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a trip to kind of like see the places before and then like recognize them in the new video.
Right.
Dude, like I could have been there.
Well, and even hearing like Tupac say Rosecrans and shit in songs, it's like that's got to be a trip when you grow up there, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I mean. It was always like around. It was always this like real interwoven thing. So it's just, like when I look back on it, it's like, okay, this is like obvious. Like,
yeah.
You know, like even, like right there on our block, there's Marvin Gaye's old house or whatever.
Oh, and shit.
Yeah, because I always remember, like, you know, my dad and my uncle and everybody, they're always, like, telling the story, like, you know, and that's the house Marvin Gaye's dad shot him in because, like, he was high on drugs and, like, going crazy, and that's why you shouldn't do drugs.
Yeah. That's a very, like, applicable story.
Yeah, you know, so like every time we'd pass it, you know, like every now and then it'd remind you, like, all right, that's why you don't do drugs.
Hey, like, every time you pass it, be like, hey, be like, fool, don't make me shoot you. Stay off those drugs. Fuck, dude.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah.
That's dope. So rap was the first love.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. I mean, I was in the R&B a little bit, you know, because of my sister and whatnot, but.
How many brothers and sisters you got?
I got an older sister and a younger brother. But,
so you're in the middle.
Yeah.
So does that make you an attention seeker?
I guess, theoretically.
Yeah,
right.
Is that right.
The people with degrees say?
I guess. And Freud or somebody would probably, I don't know who, I don't know who says that, but like middle children become entertainers a lot, maybe? Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? What do they do?
My little brother's still in school, and then my sister's dentist, I guess, technically.
Oh, tight. How much older is she?
I'm not sure. She's like 30-something. I don't know. Sorry, I'm like really bad with...
Hey, no worries.
Numbers of keeping track. I have a hard enough time keeping track of how old I am.
That's so fine. If there's anyone you don't have to apologize to, it's me. I forgive you, my son.
Thank you.
But was she an influence on your tastes with anything? Being an older sister that was like seeing cooler shit, was she passing it down to you?
I would say so, yeah. Like, I don't think she like consciously like, yo, pass this. I'm going to pass it down to you. But like... I think she was like more into music, you know, when I was like, you know, she would want to watch MTV and BET, and I'm like, nah, I want to watch cartoons still, you know?
Yeah. So, and like, she's like, nah, there's a new R. Kelly video coming out.
We yeah, or, you know, this. There's a new Mariah Carey or, was it Boys to Men?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. She just told me about this group the other day, High Five.
Wait, is that like an old boy band or something?
Yeah. They're
I
like
think I remember them.
Really old. I never even heard of any of them or any of their songs. I was like really tripping. I was like, dude, this is like from another world, but it was pretty chill.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when you go to Orange County for school, how does that happen?
My dad worked out there. So yeah.
So you just started driving with him in the morning?
Yeah. He just took me out there.
And was that like an all-white school?
But for the most part, predominantly, but yeah, there's like Latinos. And
what city in Orange County?
Huntington Beach.
Oh, in Huntington. Wow. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's a pretty motherfucking white area.
Yeah.
So what was that like? Bit of a culture shock?
Yeah, totally. It was like complete shock, but it was good though, because it really opened my eyes to a lot of things, man. You know, I would tell you, up until then, you know, like my view of the world was very limited. It was like inner city LA pretty much.
Right. So
for me, like Ozzy Osbourne, Kiss, and Sid Vicious were all the same person, you know?
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I didn't really know them apart or know that their music was different.
Yeah, because all white people like smelled like wet dogs or hot dog water.
No, it was just like, I thought the person with the face paint bit the head off the bat and, you know, played the quote-unquote punk music. So
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. Like, your view of white music probably gets twisted or something. Or I don't know.
I didn't have anyone to, like, reference it. No one was like, yo, this is like... The Sex Pistols and this is Kiss.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so.
You know, funnily enough, I grew up Catholic. Not to be on some Mr. Me Too shit, but I relate to what you're saying in that going to church as a kid and like hearing about Catholicism, like they really teach you, like, yo, this is the fucking religion. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't believe this shit, you're kind of wrong. You know what I mean? And so I grew up thinking like, oh man, like everyone's Catholic, dude. Like Catholics, we run this shit. And when I found out that there had only been like one Catholic president and that like Catholics there was like a lot of persecution and shit, I was like, what? I was like, no way. I thought that like everyone was Catholic. It's crazy. So I don't know what the point of that story was other than to say like, I think that's interesting that you were like, oh yeah, like we're not a minority. Like we're everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Sorry. That was a rant.
It's cool.
So, where'd you fit in? Like when you went to Huntington Beach, what did you do as the new kid?
I guess I was just playing ball. So that kind of like took up a lot of my time, and then just, you know, exploring different other things, you know, like surfing and
get Al Bundy on me. Were you like a basketball superstar or what?
Nah.
Did you make the varsity team as a freshman?
Nah, it wasn't. It was like up until then, like it was pretty serious, but I feel like when I started smoking weed was when when I started the quest. Like, yeah, I don't really enjoy this. Like,
yeah,
I don't want to like dedicate my whole life to like this, practicing. You know, like, yeah. Like I had fun doing it and it was chill, but like, and I would say like, I was probably like up there, you know, in the better percentages of the people who played, but.
What were you, a two guard?
No, I was just like a one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you had handles.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And the assist ability.
There you go. So you're like pretty serious about basketball until what, like eighth grade?
No, I'd say probably like 9th or 10th,
and then somebody passes you a doobie and you're like, game over, life changed.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like that drastic, but yeah, looking back on it, it was kind of like
it makes you think a little bit, like, you know, we like smoking and getting high for the first time, you're kind of like, whoa, like let's think about things, and it kind of changes your worldview a little bit, most definitely.
I can't even remember the first times I was getting high.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really does make you like think about like things. So, you know, my interest just kind of took me elsewhere. I think that's when I really started getting more creative and like exploring painting and drawing and making music.
Yeah. So like, what was the first thing you took to? Was painting and stuff? Was it art classes or
your
own time?
Yeah. I just kind of did everything on my own. Like, I was never, like, I got like piano lessons as a kid, but it was nothing really like, I was never really like so focused on one thing, you know what I mean? Like I was just doing a little bit of everything. Like,
so it's like you're painting, drawing, making music, thinking of melodies.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to make alcohol, but the parents wouldn't let me do that.
You wanted to make alcohol?
Yeah.
As like a sophomore in high school? Or
yeah.
You're like, let me brew my own beers?
Yeah.
They were like, no.
Yeah.
No shit. Well, how did you get that idea?
I don't know. I was just driving down the street one day and I saw like, it was like a homebrew store and I just thought about it. I was like, oh, you can make your own alcohol. Like everybody likes alcohol. Like that's totally a thing that you could do and sell for money.
Like, have you ever gotten to do it since or what?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've made a couple batches. I haven't made anything in a while, but I just made some mead.
Anything come out good?
Yeah, it was pretty tasty. I mean, I think the fourth and fifth batch were pretty tasty. The first three were kind of
sus.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, it got you drunk, but it wasn't
right
wasn't anything great.
Yeah. Yeah. So in high school, did you start joining bands or were you just like kind of keeping it on the low that you were working on music stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I had a couple towards the end. It wasn't much. Most of the stuff out there is what is it called, like not emo but like hardcore.
Okay.
That was like a big thing out there. Like everybody was in a hardcore band.
In Huntington.
Yeah. I guess like Avenged Sevenfold was like a local band and they popped off and everybody's like, we're doing that.
Right.
So that kind of wasn't really me. I was more like the melodic sort of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you seem a little too chill for hardcore. You know, you got very chill vibes.
Yeah. For sure. So yeah, that's kind of what was going on out there. So yeah, I was playing a couple of bands like, I don't know, just like indie shit, whatever.
Yeah.
And then that's when I just started producing my own shit. Like, I think I got like...
What was your path into learning about indie music? If you grew up on the rap and then you moved to Huntington and it's like, oh, fucking white people and their crazy shit. Like, you know, like what bands kind of fucking made you think about other types of music?
Shit. Thinking back about then, The Shins, I guess.
Okay.
Modest Mouse.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think of like all the stuff they listen to out there that like they turn me on to. What's his face? The guy that died, the heroin overdose guy.
Oh, Sublime.
Yeah, Sublime. A lot of Sublime out there.
Sublime was secretly a big one for me too. I used to come to California on vacation. I'm from Alaska, and so I'd come down to my I had an older female cousin that would put me up on game, and they gave me like the first two Sublime albums before the like mainstream one came out. And I was like, that was my first band where I was like, oh my God, I'm early on this. Like I knew about it before they were famous. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I never really like listened to it a whole lot, but I just got it because everyone else listened to it.
Right.
And I'm like, this isn't bad. So, you know, I'll just like listen to it. But
right.
Growing up, you know, we got a lot of like Bob Marley.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, that sort of cuts from out there. So
yeah. That's tight. Yeah. So you start making indie music out there and
that was just like a little minor thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like I didn't really find a whole lot of people like really playing, you know, like I said, that kind of stuff. So
but did you like pick up a guitar and shit?
Yeah. I started with the bass and then I moved the guitar.
Yeah. Did you have friends that you were jamming out with or were you just like, I just wanna fucking play bass?
Not a whole lot, you know, like I was so that's where kinda like the whole production thing started. It was just there's no one really like around or willing to fuck with me. So I was like, all right.
So you got to become your own band at that point.
Yeah. Just, you know, and it just progressed in that. The more like I played and wanted to play with people and try to reach out, like, I was like, man, I just should just do this myself.
What was the software that you picked up?
It was Reason and Ableton Live, but like really, really early versions.
Right.
Yeah. I think it was like one of the, managers at the school or something like just hooked me up and was just like, yo, here's some shit.
No shit.
Yeah. So like that's kind of what I started with. And even then, like I didn't know anything. I didn't know how to record the guitar and computer. So like all I did was kind of more like dance techno music, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of like what those programs were made for at the beginning, it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, that's what kind of like came easiest to me. Yeah. So like it's just kind of been yeah. progression since.
Right. So what did you do when you got out of high school? How was high school? Was it an overall positive experience?
Yeah, it was chill. I mean, by the end of it, I was kind of like, fuck this. I'm over this.
Yeah. How'd you do?
All right. I mean, I graduated late.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I got the paper or whatever.
Right.
That means nothing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, yeah, I did that. And then I was really into photography back then. So music was a side thing, you know. I was really into photography. And I went to school for that for a little bit.
Where?
And started working just at SMC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I went to Brooks.
Brooks.
In Santa Barbara.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
The real, like, fancy photo school. I didn't know any better, but, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's cool, dude. I wanted to go there, but didn't really got the dough for it, so.
Yeah, we didn't either. That's where debt comes from. Anyway.
But yeah, so I went to SMC, just got a couple gigs doing photography, did that for a while. And
Dope.
Then,
what kind of shit were you shooting?
I was doing like live concerts and like commercial.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dope, man. You still shoot?
Not really. I mean, just off like my iPhone.
Yeah. No, dude, the iPhone, it changed the game for photography. Like, I was really not passionate about photography for a while after getting out of college. I was like, fuck this industry. It's a bunch of douchebags. Like, I hate this shit. And then Instagram came along, and I was like, oh, shit. I'm down with taking photos.
But, yeah, it's kind of funny. Yeah, I gave it up for a little bit, and then, like, kind of slowly being back into it.
So. Yeah. So you just had some odd photo jobs after getting out of high school?
I was mostly assistant, and then like I did like freelance like commercial or not commercial, but live
show stuff.
Yeah. But and then I realized I was like, dude, I don't even want to take pictures of these people. I just want to go to these shows for free. Like,
yeah, totally.
You know, and so like that's why I kind of like I you know dropped that a little bit, and then I was doing the commercial thing just because I was paying money.
Yeah,
you know, just assisting, and then I was like, nah, I don't really like want to deal with all this.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I got in some trouble. I had a kid.
You had a kid?
Yeah.
Oh, well, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, well, it's been 5 years since, but thank you.
Yeah. Well, congrats on your child.
Yeah.
Boy,
she's
or
beautiful.
Girl. But it's like a little girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. You get along with your baby mom?
Yeah. We're all good. It's all good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
But important. At the time, you were probably shitting bricks, huh?
Yeah. I think everyone does, man. It's like a thing to go through, dude. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like nobody you talk to, even your parents, can't even really like explain it or prepare you for
it.
Like, it's just something you gotta like experience.
Yeah. Totally. The older I get, I don't have any kids, but the older I get, the more I think that like no one's ever really ready to have a baby, it seems like. You know what I mean? Like the stories always get a little fishy in there. Like there's always some circumstances.
For real. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's just like it's a thing, man.
Yeah.
So like
how what kind of trouble did you get into? Can you talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing major, like, you know, just being, like, irresponsible.
It's nothing major, I just shot somebody.
Nothing like that, dude. You know, I mean, let's just be honest, you know, like, being young and black, like, you get a little more attention than other people.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when you're driving around in cars and, like, you know, it's just like...
You get pulled over and you have anything that somebody might get a slap on the wrist for, you're going to get a little more for something like that.
Yeah, you know, and then you don't show up to court and it becomes a whole thing. Exactly. So, you know, when I say a little trouble, it's just community service, but like I had like a mad amount of hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck. Like how many hours did it end up being?
Like 500.
Get out.
I mean, that was just for one. Like, and then I had like a couple other that were like... you know, couple hundred and then like 50, you know.
Wow,
like,
dude.
Yeah, I was just like always in there for stupid
shit.
Well,
it's so crazy like, how our court system's set up to just like, once you're in it, they want you to be stuck in it. Like, it's impossible to get out of like the prison industrial complex or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's not impossible, man. You just gotta be on your shit. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I just wasn't on my shit. Like, you know, I'd be on my bike, dude, and I'd like roll through a stop sign and then they stopped me, you know, like, oh, what you doing? Like, where you going? Like, what's going on? You know?
Yeah.
And it was like shit like then they would give me a ticket. I wouldn't show up. And then like they'd stop me again for some bullshit like that.
You know,
and then they go, oh, you got a warrant. Hey, we like throwing a book at you.
Right.
You know? So it was like always shit like that. Just like stacking up.
And then in the middle of that, you get your lady pregnant?
No, I was like to deal with that. Like I like bounced, dude. I was like, you know, I can't.
Oh, where'd you go?
I just went up to Portland.
Oh, how was that?
It was dope.
Yeah, Portland's a cool city.
Yeah, it's a lot like LA. It's funny.
It is kind of more they're like
they're identical to me.
Yeah, I feel like their homeless are a little more overzealous or something up there.
No, I think people are really chill because it's like real easy living out there.
Yeah,
you know. But at the same time, a lot of people are like really pretentious as fuck. Like,
yeah.
Into whatever they're into, you know. And then there's like really bad traffic.
Is there in Portland?
Yeah, dude.
No shit. It's like I've been to Portland traffic. A few times this year. I haven't experienced any of the traffic, but I do like that city. It has a good vibe. It's just so crazy how there's just so many strip clubs. I'm sure that's a cliche at this point, but like,
yeah,
you wouldn't expect it in that city. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, it was kind of boring and lazy. That's why, like, I feel like where they're different, they're completely different.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like LA, everybody's trying to turn up and go to like, you know, four different clubs in one night, you know, in Portland, they're like going to they're going nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing nothing.
What were you doing up there?
I was just, you know, doing my community service or whatever, just up there living.
Oh, so you could do community service in a different state?
Yeah. I told them I was moving. Yeah. They're like, okay, cool. Just find like a nonprofit and just like log some hours doing your stuff.
So, oh, nice. So did you have a job or no?
Yeah, I had to get a job. I was like, yeah, just making music, got a job. And then as soon as I got out there, I found out my lady was pregnant. So.
Oh, wow. So she was still down here?
No, she went up there with me, but then she came back down. Oh, okay. She's originally from out here, too. So.
Yeah. No shit. So.
And like that was like when I was like, all right, dude, like I'm having a baby. Like I need to figure out what I'm doing with my life. Like I can't be like dilly-dallying no more. Like,
yeah, so you know,
not
out?
Really focused. And like I was really into motorcycles, and I was considering doing that.
Well, you know, doing what?
Doing or just like motorcycle, like mechanics,
like repair.
Or something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't want to be dirty all day.
Right.
So I was just like, all right, I'm gonna just make music.
Yeah. And how's that been going?
Good, man. I mean, it's been like a process, you know, but every step and turn, it's been getting better. So I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. I was telling you before we started, like, you're one of these names that I've been hearing since, I think the first time was like around 09 from Verbs or from Caleb Stone. Wait, is it Caleb Stone?
Yeah.
Yeah. We've had him on the show. That's a good buddy. I just forgot his last name for a second. But anyways, Caleb had brought you up, I think, back when he was like doing the Prof Calc thing. And it's one of those things where I don't see your name that often. Like, you don't play out a lot, do you?
No, not really.
Yeah, but every time I'm like reminded of your name and I end up at your SoundCloud, I go, oh fuck, I'm gonna like listen to this for a couple hours, and I just like put it on loop, and it's great. It is, it's chill. That's exactly what it is. It's like great fucking ambience music, you know what I mean? Like, it's just good for whatever I might be doing at the time. How did you start developing your sound?
I don't know, I just started playing.
Yeah,
you know, I think I get influenced a lot by like the things I hear and the people around me, so I feel like that's like a big factor in the sound, you know, like,
yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, you know, I've been working with Caleb, and you know, I know Verbs for a long time, you know, we've always been like jamming and chilling, so.
yeah what category would you put your music in? Because I would say like my first instinct is to say chill wave, but I know that chill wave is kind of like almost a curse word at this point. And
yeah, I mean, some people think it is like, yeah. I don't really think so. I mean, it's fine. I think just the like definition of it is really narrow, you know. And I think my music encompasses like a little more than that.
Yeah,
but it definitely has like a little bit of that, you know, but that's not like the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I say fuck genre, man. Like I don't know how to like do it. I
could
throw out like 12 of them maybe if you want.
I was gonna say, like, what is what goes into making music for you? Like, what do you start with? Like, do you start in a program? Do you start with plucking on your guitar? Do you start with your sampler?
A little bit of everything. Yeah. You know, just like guitar. I've been mostly doing like keys, starting with the keys.
Yeah, and then building around that.
Yeah.
Because
I'm not that great of a guitar player.
Right.
But it's cool. I don't know. Like, I'm just like a fan of like starting with whatever. Sometimes I start with the drum beat, you know, like, or start with the sample, you know. So it's just kind of whatever like stands out and whatever.
But you sing too.
Yeah.
And do you find like writing lyrics to be a cathartic process? Like, are they important to you, or is it?
No, not at all.
Some singers are just kind of like, I just fucking sing whatever sounds good.
Yeah, I'm kind of like at that point now. Like, I was never really one for words. Like, I liked poetry and whatnot, but I never really. I feel like I myself have trouble, you know, with my words. I feel like I speak a slang and I slur my words.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand me, so
yeah,
I feel like I just kind of like focus more on the music to.
Well, absolutely. I noticed that when I listen, it's kind of like they're mixed, sort of in the background, almost as an instrument in themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
part of the overall vibe, and I'm down with that because I sometimes like when I can't understand what people are saying or singing. You know what I mean? Or when it just doesn't matter. Maybe it can mean something to you that way. Yeah.
I mean, that's not to say like I won't do something like the opposite in the future, but that's just kind of how what it is,
right,
or what it's started for me as.
Yeah, so, totally. Yeah. Well, tell me about the weird LA indie scene that you're involved with.
I don't know.
When did you move back down from Portland?
It was a while. Like, I was only there for like 11 months, 10 months.
So your daughter gets born and you move back?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and what was that? Like, when you moved back, were you guys going to try to stay together?
No, we've been together, like, kind of on and off, you know? Like,
yeah.
Things are...
Of course.
You know, life's difficult sometimes.
Absolutely. There's no real defined lines in life, as you would think, you know?
Yeah. So I just kind of moved back and just
started grinding.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you make side money?
I was working cafes for a little while.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and doing that a little.
So you get down here and there's like this kind of warehouse scene, right? And what, like, did you got involved with that?
Yeah. I had an idea, you know, I was thinking maybe, you know, we'd start our own like warehouse and just like throw parties and shows. And it was a good step, man. Cause like, you know, like it all kind of came from this like DIY mentality, you know, like there was no one around really to like have a full band with, you know. Still, even at this point, like, I didn't really, like, I wasn't on the scene in like no sense of the word, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was just on my own doing my own shit,
right?
And so, you know, I had this idea, you know, I had like a few friends who was like, yo, let's just get a warehouse and throw shows. Like, you know, we don't know nobody don't know us, nobody ain't asking us to play shows, so we'll just have a place to play shows. And that's kind of what happened. Started booking shows and then just mandated that we would play the open slot.
Yeah.
At every show.
Yeah.
So it was really good practice, you know.
No, that's
playing
perfect.
Like 20 shows a month.
Yeah, that's dope, because then you get to get your chops up, even if the people fucking, whether or not they want you to in front of them, you know?
Yeah. And we were like in a, it was a crazy experience, man. It was kind of like a free for all, you know. It was very, very open.
Yeah, it was called Mick World, and it was over on Adams, right?
Yeah, Adams and La Brea.
Adams and La Brea, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And at night, that's the hood.
Oh, for sure. Like,
across the street, there's a liquor store. Like,
I don't want to like blow up anybody's spot, but like, don't go over there.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. I used to go. I didn't know you at the time, and I didn't know I didn't even actually know that you were part of the owner or one of the owners of it, but like, I used to go there for like art installations, and I would go there for random shows and shit, like weird shit. Wasn't there like a video, there was like some weird video art show there one time that I think I went to?
Yeah, I mean, I started it and was there for like maybe like a year and a half. I can't even remember, but like after I left, it still continued and just got passed along. I'm not sure what's going on there right now, but it went on for like many years after I had left.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's still going on or not, but it's one of those places where you'd park your car and you would kind of worry about your car afterwards.
I mean, nah, dude, I think people are like kind of, not passive, but like there's not like a whole lot of that, like violence and like breaking into cars and stuff. It's just, you know, a lot of people got like drug issues
and
like a lot of people living on the streets and out of jail, you know, just like you said.
Yeah.
So like, it's just kind of like that sort of thing, you know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, if you're not like into like being a crackhead, like just don't go over there. There's only crackheads over there.
Right. Totally.
So
at that time, did you build a band? Or did you open Mick World in order to like practice with the band, or was it like you already had it formed, or was it kind of a thing that was growing with the spot?
I was like involved with a couple of bands,
yeah,
you know, and like, you know, so that there was like spot for them. And then I think it was around then that I started like focusing on my own.
Yeah.
Like project.
The Dream Panther project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to be called the Magic Johnson.
The Magic Johnson. That's a great name.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. What kind of music was Magic Johnson?
It was like funky bossa nova.
Okay.
Like psychedelic, trippy bossa nova.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just had a one of those old organ beat machines, you know, use to like keep the tempo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just play guitar over that.
That's sick. Yeah. And so I always wonder, like, with the band shit, is it as, like, dramatic as, like, oh, man, we're breaking up? Or was it just like, hey, man, I think I want to, like, go off on my own and do some other shit?
I mean, it was always just kind of me and, like, whoever I can, like, rope in to, like, help me out and, like, do some shit. You know, right. I was playing with my boy Nick. He's in the, you know, official Dream Panther live band.
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so it was like me and him.
Is there a patch for that you get to put on your jean jacket if you're in the official band?
Yeah.
No, but go ahead.
But yeah, so, you know, he was always like there, and then like kind of we were always just down to like jam with whoever, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like seriously, Caleb probably played a couple shows with us, like, you know, yeah, whoever was at McWorld and was just down to like...
Right.
Jump on, like we just kind of were for it, you know. Yeah. So
yeah. And so how did you switch over from bossa nova into like the weird kind of indie spacey ambient stuff that you do?
I don't know,
just a natural progression.
Like, yeah, I never, it was like the sound was nothing that like I really like thought about, like, oh, I want to sound like this. Yeah. I want to sound like that. Because for me, like, dude, there's so much good music, and you could sound so many different ways.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
You know, from like James Brown to Bob Marley to like Young Thug. Like,
yeah.
Come on, you know, like there's Tupac. Like, there's so many like good.
So you didn't want to be fucking bound to any rules.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like even some country I fuck with. Like, I fuck with folk music a lot. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Joanna Newsom's first record was
so good.
Yeah, it was a big thing for me. You know, so like, and even like, you know, indie rock and rock, like, what was their name? Comets on Fire.
Okay.
You know, like, I remember seeing them as a kid, you know, like, it was just, like, very influential. So, like, yeah, like, I never really kind of, like, I just knew, like, whatever I had equipment-wise in front of me, you know, whatever I could do and play, like, whatever sounded good to me, whatever I wanted to, like, listen to, that's kind of what I just gravitated towards.
Yeah.
So.
Talk to me about your DIY mentality. Like, how come you never, or have you ever, like, been on some, like, oh, maybe I should get a manager, maybe I should do this, maybe I need a label to help me, or, like, has it always just kind of been, like, I'm going to just charge it?
No, I was looking for a label for a while, and I think, you know, maybe, like, 8 months ago, I was like, nah, I just need to go ahead and just do it,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, so... You know, like, I don't know. I spent some time, like, you know, and it's still even now, like, trying to, like, figure out the quote-unquote music industry. Like,
right.
You know, and I think just, like, yeah, having an understanding of how all the parts move is good. But I don't know. I guess more so now I'm just like, dude, fuck it. Just focus on the music. Like,
yeah, yeah.
That's what comes best for me, and that's the part I enjoy the most. So.
Yeah, I spent a lot of years wondering, like, oh... Like, when are these labels supposed to hit you up? Or, like, are you supposed to reach out to them? Or, like, why isn't this happening or that happening? And then in the last couple of years, I've just been like, oh, wait, I'm just going to make it happen.
Yeah.
And it's been working so much better not having to
worry about that shit. For me, what's been, like, a big philosophy is, like, being creative.
Yeah.
It's, like, even as a kid, like, I realized, man, like, so many problems could be solved with creativity. You know,
absolutely.
Like, the same way people just throw money at problems, I feel like you just throw creativity at problems.
Right.
And, like, it just gets way doper. You know, there's no more problems. So.
I think that's a fucking great, that's a great philosophy and theory, because one of the things that I can't stand the most is when, like, a problem pops up and everyone makes note of the problem and they describe the problem, but no one talks about solutions. Everyone's like, oh, well, fuck, we forgot this. Like, what are we supposed to do? Rather than just going, like, oh, hey, we forgot this. We can do this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I'm telling you, man, like, I don't know. It's just, I like remember going, like, doing art in like school, you know, and they'd be like, oh, well, here's like the rule. And I'm like, dude, fuck this. I hate this. Like,
yeah.
I remember hating art, like, in school, just because there was always these like
rules.
Yeah. You had the color within the line, and this is what constituted a good thing, and this is what is a bad one, you know? I'm like, no, man, like, you know? So I think, yeah, it's creativity, like, because I don't think, you know, public schools in LA really foster a lot of creativity.
Yeah.
Or at least they didn't back then.
So. Right, right. I mean, our fucking whole schooling system is fucked. It's all test-based and everything. It's on a whole nother podcast that we could do, bro. Nah, but, yeah, so here's the crazy shit. Like, fucking I Love McConan is your cousin, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what, like, what the fuck? How did all that happen? Did you guys grow up together?
Yeah, yeah. We pretty much were, like, you know, like that, just like neck and neck up until like, yeah, about high school, you know, when he went to Atlanta and then I went to Orange County.
Yeah. But you guys always stayed consistently collaborating or what?
No, it's kind of funny, man. We kind of went through our own process, like
growth
into, you know, isolated, but it was kind of identical, you know,
for all intents and purposes, you guys are like pretty much the same age.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's a year or two younger than me.
But you guys were the cousins that were like the closest.
Yeah.
To like being the same.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like, you know, we grew up playing ball, grew up playing video games. Like,
yeah,
you know, he was with me when we were watching our grandmother sing in the living room.
Okay, like, yeah, he was one of the ones where they were like, "Don't do drugs or I'll shoot you."
Yeah, pretty much.
so you guys grew up with the same musical influences.
For the most part, yeah, up until you guys dipped. Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting because, like, I would say that you guys both make left field versions of whatever it is you guys are trying to do. You know, like, you guys are both part of the left field, you know?
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, you know, when he started making music, like, I started listening to it and I was always fucking with his music.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and, like, he's obviously, an influence on me, so...
Yeah, that's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's so funny because, like I said, I've been seeing your name around for so long. And then I remember seeing the video for Don't Sell Molly No More.
Yeah.
And it said Chopped and Screwed Part by Dream Panther. And I went, what the fuck? I'm like, I would have never. I'm like, after having listened to this fool's music, I would have never guessed that. I'm like, what is this weird connection? And then I come to learn that you guys were cousins. I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So have you been part of it? Have you guys, like, collaborated on other shit?
Nah, man, like, that's what I mean. It's like, our kind of like things were like separate forever. Like, you know, he came out to LA in like 2012.
Yeah.
And we did a little bit and, but yeah, I mean, you know, I was just kind of like so focused on my thing and I felt like he was so focused on his thing that, like, you know, we touch in with each other, but like, it was kind of just like, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just like grinding. So.
Well, it's so interesting that you chose to go to Portland because, like, what's going on in Atlanta, they're calling Black Portland, like, all the weird shit going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Portland's definitely weird and they embrace that.
Yeah.
So. And, the city was definitely an influence on me.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
That's cool. Yeah, interesting that you're fucking, that Drake just co-signed your cousin.
It's crazy. Cool. Yeah, I'm happy for him. Yeah. He's doing his thing.
Really
I always knew, like, his music is gonna pop.
Yeah.
You know, just from like telling you, listen to those early tapes, you know, and I just like, dude, as soon as he gets production to like, you know, get everything like all like squared away, like it's going to the top. So.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, that's dope, man.
So yeah, I'm not really like that surprised.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of behind the scenes production for people around LA? Like, I know that Caleb has recently been on a kick where he's like producing for a shit ton of people. Are you on that? Do you make a lot of rap beats?
Not a whole lot, but yeah, I do work with Caleb a decent amount. Yeah, he's been the homie forever, and you know, so like, yeah, as we, you know, he plays in the live band as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the, you know, the more we kind of been hanging out and just working more, you know, just been doing more stuff. I started doing production for a couple other people, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's just chill. I don't know. I don't know how to explain. I don't want to, like, I'm just chill, I guess.
Yeah. So tell me about this EP that you're working on and why you're having an existential crisis about putting it out.
I feel like it's just old, you know. It's kind of not really representing, like, who I am anymore. I feel like I've really grown so much in the past, like, 6 months. Just kind of
so
because like I mean also too it like it has like a lot of songs from like years ago that I just kind of never really put out, like,
yeah.
I'm kind of weird with that, like being a perfectionist. Yeah, you know, like I get really,
so you're not somebody that like will make something and be like, oh, I'm gonna put this on the internet now.
I mean, I definitely get that urge for sure, but yeah.
You kind of want to collect and compile things and put them into a cohesive project?
No, honestly, dude, it's like at the end of the day, man, like I just want like really, really dope shit. You know, like I want to get to that point where like I'm like Beethoven, you know what I mean? Like 500 years later, people are like, yo, this shit still knocks. Like, this is still dope. We're talking a whole nother language, but like, this speaks to us. So like,
I just want to say, I've never heard anyone refer to Beethoven's music as knocking, and I loved it. You're like, yo, this shit still knocks. No, but that's real. It does.
Can you like come across a person who's just like, I don't like Beethoven?
Yeah, I mean, they're idiots if they say that.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, so like, or Mozart or like some shit like that.
No, it's undeniable.
You know, they still play that on the radio today. Still.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of like what I'm really looking for. Like,
right.
So I guess, but that's why, like, you know, I really hold on to stuff because I get like.
So are you a music hoarder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing is that if you put it out and people do like it, that's good.
Yeah.
Right.
And if they don't like it, they won't say anything about it.
But if they don't, are you scared of hearing people don't like it?
I guess, you know, before fear was a lot of it, you know, and like, I guess it kind of still is, but now I'm just so hyped on like the new stuff I'm making. I just rather wait to finish that and just put that out.
Well, I personally think it's a smart decision. I'm not like trying to be like, oh, fucking put your music out. That's not what I mean.
I mean, it's going to come out eventually. You know,
I went on a rant on here one time about like, you know, people always ask for advice, like, oh, how can I get noticed? How can I do this? And I think like the best advice is like, yo, keep your music a fucking secret until you're really good. And guess what? And then when you're really good, when you put it out and it's really good, everyone's going to catch on at once. And you know what I mean? Like,
I think honestly, like the thing I had to like keep reminding myself is like, I feel like everyone's path is different.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
So like, if that works for them, like, you know, that may be the path for them. But like, you just got to kind of figure out your path, and like, that's kind of what I'm like focusing on.
Yeah,
like, it's just like the path. So,
when you say EP, like, how many songs was on this EP that you haven't put out yet?
I think right now in its current form, there's 7. But there's probably, I still got like probably another half dozen songs that I did and just never put out.
Right, right. So you have 7 songs. So like that's my thing is I'm a slow worker. It takes me a long time to write songs. Takes me a long time to put music out. Are you somebody where you make a lot of music that you just never finish? Or is it one of these things where it's like those 7 songs are the 7 that you've been working on for these 2 years?
Yeah, I guess I kind of been like I just like work slow.
Yeah,
I mean, same. I used to. Now it comes so much quicker. So that's like why like I'm so torn. Like, you know, it's like the new stuff comes so much quicker, and I enjoy so much more.
Right.
That like I don't really want to spend any more time to put like the final touch on this.
On something that you like, and that's the thing.
From 2 years ago.
Yeah, and I mean, it sounds like. Your gut has already made up your mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like maybe just.
I mean, dude, I got like probably like another half dozen songs in the can, you know, that just need to like get figured out with the people I'm working with. Like, you know, whatever's going to happen with them. So
yeah. But the new shit from the last 6 months, you're feeling like you're finding your voice.
For sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe just fucking sit on the old shit, put out the new shit. And then when Dream Panther is synonymous with Beethoven, you can put out the old shit as B-sides, you know? Like,
yeah, no, it's cool, man. I love it all, man. It's all good. Like,
yeah,
you know, I guess I'm just like so hyped on the new stuff that I feel like the new stuff should come out before the old stuff.
Right.
This is really what it is.
Right. Do you get to play out a lot still or no?
No, I don't play out very much.
Why not? Is it a conscious decision?
Nah, it was kind of a hassle with the live band, you know.
Trying to get 4 people on the same page.
Oh, yeah, it's just 3 of us, but I don't know, like, right now for us, I guess, like, the economics wasn't really there, so.
Right, right. Yeah, that makes
sense. And, I don't know, I really enjoy, I mean, I don't get me wrong, like, I love performing, but, like, I love producing much more.
Right, right.
So.
Yeah. So I don't know. Give me your forecast. What do you think you're going to do within the next few months with the new stuff that you're making? Just keep working on it and then what?
Yeah, you're just going to drop it, man. Just like keep it going. I'll probably end getting up playing more shows.
Yeah.
So.
Where do you record at?
Just out of my house.
Are you doing live drum stuff or is it a lot of sample drums?
We do a little bit. But right now, though, my drum kit's really, really shitty. So it's just a lot of samples.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when I get a better drum kit, then we'll do some live.
Because that's
drums.
The thing. The music sounds so live to me and like sounds like it sounds organic. It sounds more organic than most, like, you know, synth pop or whatever that I would hear, I think. And so it just makes me wonder, like, what the home studio's like.
Yeah.
For the music nerds out there.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, like, the drums are always, like, almost always programmed, but everything else is pretty much live, like bass, guitar.
Just like a mic amp?
No, I just do direct in. Yeah.
And then, like, using MIDI filtration and shit like that, or what?
Just a various amounts of things, you know, like, you know, running through pedals first or, you know, affect it in the computer, a little bit of both.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or just, yeah, miking the guitar or, you know, yeah, whatever I get my hands on.
Right,
know?
Right. Yeah, man. So. That's tight.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Like, what's up with life right now? You got a job?
No, I kind of just been doing the music.
That's great.
Yeah.
How do you survive off of it if you're not playing shows?
You know, I got like little hustles here and there, you know, some music, some not.
Yeah,
so,
of course. Of course.
You know, money trickles in. Like, yeah, I mean, I do play shows every now and then and like I get money for that. So.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I'm glad that I got a chance to finally meet you and talk to you. Like I said, I'm a fan. I like what I've heard. I'm excited to hear more. Fuck, maybe, you know, hopefully we could work on something in the future. That
I'm
would be
totally
chill.
Down, man. Yeah. That's why I'm like, I'm just happy, man. I feel like I'm hitting a stride. I'm just doing music and just getting it done. Like, I'm telling you, like, yeah, like you said, Caleb, man. Caleb's been a big part of that, dude. Just because that dude's a workhorse.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. Caleb's been around in the background for a long time. Like,
he's been doing a lot of work, man. A lot of work.
I always like try to shout out Verbs whenever I can because Verbs is one of those people that like is part of, I don't see him as frequently as I used to now, but he's one of those people in my brain trust where I'm like, yo, or he's always excited about something and he'll tell me and he'll be like, yo, have you heard so-and-so yet?
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah. And he's like, yo, you got to go listen to him, you know? So, and like you and Caleb are both two of those names that he's been telling me about. And the first time that I met Caleb was because, I was telling Verbs like, oh, I have this song that I want to do like a live rendition of, but I don't know anyone that like really like plays guitar or anything at the moment.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, you should have my homie Caleb like do a remix of it and then do that live. And then I'm thinking that he's just going to bring an acoustic guitar and we're going to do this. And he fucking had done a whole like keyboard, like weird electro remix out of a keyboard and a fucking and a guitar and all this crazy shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, like you really went the extra mile. And the video ended up never coming out because it was like the recording quality of the video was terrible. But ever since then, I was like, whoa, Caleb is like onto something. And ever since then, I've definitely like watched him hit his stride and like he kind of switched genres almost into like becoming a fucking banger producer and still doing all the other weird shit too. I'm happy that you feel like that you're about to hit the same stride because good things are bound to happen.
For sure. Definitely.
Yeah. Sometimes I talk a lot.
It's chill, man.
Where can the people find you online?
Just Dream Panther.
At Dream Panther.
Anything.
Dreampanther.bandcamp.
You know, Facebook. Yeah. Bandcamp.
Oh,
iTunes.
So there you go, ladies, if you want to Snapchat him.
Or whatever. No, I'm kidding. It don't matter.
So dreampanther.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, everything, man. I'm telling you, just type in Dream Panther. Like, if anybody wants to remember anything, Dream Panther.
Dream Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Go to this guy's SoundCloud, press play, and just fucking vibe out. It's good times. And what are you going to perform today? You sent it to me, and it's fucking a very beautiful
song.
Yeah,
I decided, I'm sorry, man. Like, I don't think I'm going to perform that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do, like, an old school cut and maybe just give you guys a little snippet of that at the end.
Oh, wait, was the one that you sent me some new shit?
Yeah. That's
you should do the new shit, dude. I'm telling you, you should do the new shit.
All
right. We'll talk about it off air. I don't want to bang on you right now. But, because don't tease me. That song you sent me was so good. Okay, so follow him on Dream Panther, at Dream Panther. Look for his music. Go to his SoundCloud and listen in. It's dope, and you will like it. My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me at It's Intuition. You can follow my man, Ben Shim, behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, at I Am Database, base with two S's. Follow us as a unit, at That's Kinda Neat. YouTube.com/That's Kinda Neat, where you're going to see Dream Panther performing something today, which we will discuss off air, and I'm going to fight you over it. No, I'm just kidding.
go to your app store on your iPhone or your Samsung or whatever and download the podcast app and subscribe to Kinda Neat. Listen in every week. It will make your life so much easier. And I'm going to put up a video before this podcast comes out. There will be a video on the channel about I'm going to be walking on November 2nd, an Alzheimer's walk for the Alzheimer's Association. It's officially called the Walk to End Alzheimer's. So if you guys are still listening to this part and have not tuned out, I would love it if you would donate some money to the cause. You guys know my father has Alzheimer's, and so I'm trying to help the Alzheimer's Association raise some money for that. If you're in the LA area and you want to join the team, I'm asking that you just get either donate or raise $100 and join the team and come out and walk, spend a day with me. We'll have fun walking through Century City. And I think if you raise $100, you get a t-shirt or something like that. So you'll get a t-shirt. And yeah, so that would be great. Anyway, like I said, my name's Lee. This is my man,
who Dream Panther.
You might know as Dream Panther. Oh, am I not supposed to say your name on air?
We can bleep it out.
We'll bleep it out.
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
This is and but you guys should know him as Dream Panther.
Yeah.
And this was Kinda Neat.
That's it. Thank you, man.
Thank you, dude.